Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Nanite Frank's Prime Global Cities Index Q3 2020, which tracks movement in prime residential prices across 45 cities worldwide, showed that luxury property prices are still rising around the world despite the global pandemic. Auckland has topped the world for luxury residential price growth, with Sydney, Perth, and the Gold Coast all ranking within the top cities in the world. The prime housing market in Singapore, however, has seen home prices decline by 6.1%, the biggest fall of all the cities analysed. For more insights, we speak to Kate Everett Allen, Head of International Residential Research at Knight Frank. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for inviting me.
So what are the factors contributing to overall price growth?
I think there's a range of factors. I think some of them are influencing what we consider what we call the mainstream market, as well as the prime or luxury segment. Just for a bit of background, the prime market we define as the top 5% of the wider housing market. So it's really the most desirable, the most expensive properties in a given location. And usually in non-pandemic times would have quite an international bias. It depends from market to market. And it also depends from market to market in terms of the type of property. So obviously in Asian markets, the bias is much more towards new build property, whereas in London and in Manhattan, for example, there's a lot more resales properties that are considered to be prime. So it very much varies. In London, we tend to consider prime between 1 and 5 million, and then 1 and 10 million, and super prime 10 million plus. So that's the sort of the segments that we define it. So the factors really, I think in a time of global pandemic, you would expect for house prices to slump because there are lockdowns, circuit breakers, etc., and housing markets were effectively frozen in the first round of lockdowns. And I think we did see that to some extent in Q2. There was a bit of a hiatus. But in the third quarter of 2020, we've seen stronger demand and more activity. And I think that's down to number of things. Perhaps the most important one is because of the huge fiscal stimulus measures that we've seen introduced by governments and central banks. So whether that's furlough schemes to protect jobs or mortgage holidays, we've not seen a really big sell-off of prime homes, which would inevitably add to supply and therefore weaken prices. So we've not seen that sell-off of prime homes that we saw perhaps in, say, 2008 at the height of the financial crisis. I think also after the lockdowns and the circuit breakers, we've seen residents really sort of stop and take stock of their lifestyles and their working patterns and sort of reevaluated how they want to live and where they want to live. And we've seen, particularly across UK, US and Europe, we've seen to either upgrade, they want more outdoor space or maybe home offices. Some are looking to change location to suburbs or to more rural locations. Then you've got in certain cities like Sydney and LA, you've got a real lack of prime supply, pushing prices. Also, you've got record low interest rates in a number of markets. In some cases, more countries are heading into negative rates. Like the UK and also in the city of Mumbai, we've got stamp duty holidays. So that's also helping to sort of boost activity as buyers look to try and save on purchase taxes.
Where are some bright spots, though, Kate? Or brighter spots, I suppose, depending on your perspective.
Yeah. The top five rankings for annual price growth, and this is covering the year to September, were, as you mentioned in the introduction, Auckland, but also Manila, Shenzhen, Toronto and Seoul. They all registered price growth above 7% over the year. But we've also seen some US cities start to climb the rankings. So Los Angeles is in 8th place and Miami is in 12th. Whereas I'd say in the last few years, they've been very much mid-table. And I think, again, that's that reevaluation of space driving demand. People are really looking at where they want to live and looking at more at sort of single detached homes.
And space is still the premium, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. We are certainly seeing people looking for larger gardens, or if they are in cities, they want to change location to places with balconies or views. That sense that if there is future lockdowns, we're in a lockdown currently here in the UK again, and much of Europe is as well. I think there's that sense, you know, of sort of planning for the future. Obviously, there is some positive news on the horizon with vaccines, but I think people are still taking that sort of cautious approach.
Were there major moves, though, on the leaderboard that you're seeing?
What's interesting this quarter is the correlation between the results and the handling of the pandemic in some markets. So Auckland, Seoul, Stockholm, and also mainland Chinese cities, Shenzhen and Shanghai, all stand out this quarter. And I think these are markets that are either considered to have handled the pandemic relatively well, or they've applied a lighter touch in the case of Sweden, or they're cities that are already witnessing some form of economic recovery. I'm thinking particularly about the Chinese cities there. I mean, in Switzerland, we've seen cities such as Zurich and Geneva, they're now ranked 6th and 9th, respectively. And I think Switzerland, in times of global economic uncertainty, it's a sort of go-to safe haven option for quite a number of wealthy buyers. And they particularly want exposure to the Swiss franc, which is considered a safe haven currency as well.
Mm. What about the Asian market, though? How come Hong Kong's not anywhere there?
We're seeing quite a mix in Asia. So I've mentioned those markets that have sort of made it into the top 5 or top 10 that have performed quite strongly. But there's also those which are seeing more muted growth. And I'm thinking particularly about sort of the Indian cities, KL, but also the financial centres, as you mentioned, Hong Kong and Singapore. In both cases, we're seeing the impact of a lack of new development launches taking place during the lockdown period. And that's slowly coming to fruition. But I think in the case of Singapore, for example, we often see a quieter Q4 and we're expecting prime prices and activity to start to pick up in January once those new launches come to the market.
Because we earlier said that Singapore saw house prices decline by some 6.1%. That's the biggest fall of all the cities you analysed. Why do you think that is, though? Because of the lack of launches?
Yeah, fewer high-end development launches in particular, but also obviously the travel restrictions during the pandemic have really sort of curtailed demand. But I think as restrictions start to ease, we expect prime prices to recover, assuming that there's no future further waves of the pandemic. I think there are some positive signs coming out. You know, we're hearing that there's a travel bubble opening up between Singapore and Hong Kong on the 22nd of November. Mm. So I think there is some indication that there will be a return to activity in the coming months.
So it's looking like prestigious properties, their prices are proving to be immune to the pandemic. Why do you think that is? Why are investors looking at prime real estate despite that economic downturn?
I think we saw something similar back in 2008 with the financial crisis, when stock markets are particularly volatile as they have been over the last few months and global uncertainty really ramps up. We see safe haven assets such as gold, such as government bonds, becoming the sort of go-to investor choice. And I think included in that is also prime residential property. Investors, when there is that level of uncertainty, they like the idea of a tangible asset that's in a liquid market, and that one in particular which can offer some sort of lifestyle benefit as well. So that might be that they want that asset to provide a base for a child, whether they're at school or university, for example. Or in Geneva, maybe along Lake Geneva, they may be looking also to be able to have access to the Alps and be able to go skiing. Or in certain European cities, Berlin, Lisbon, Barcelona, etc. They may also have one eye on sort of strengthening tenant demand and the youthful demographics and the fact that there could be a good yield, a good return over the sort of medium to long term.
How do you see, though, these trends playing out in the last quarter of the year?
So much depends on the trajectory of the pandemic and the speed at which a vaccine becomes available and is distributed. I think much of Europe, obviously, we're facing a second wave and lockdown restrictions are in place. But unlike the first time round, you can now, in most markets at least, you can now undertake viewings, you can transact and complete, and house moves can take place. So I don't think it's going to have as big an effect. The key factors I think are going to influence prime markets going forwards will typically be the easing of travel restrictions, given that so many of these markets have that international bias, and also how the tax landscape changes. We've already seen plans mooted, potentially under a Biden presidency, of changes to capital gains tax in the US, and similar rumours here in the UK, and also wealth tax changes in Spain and Canada. So they could all have quite a big influence on investment flows. And I think also that the vaccine's impact on consumer sentiment is going to be critical. So much is going to depend on once a vaccine is distributed, will there still be some nervousness to travel, or actually will prime buyers want to make up for lost time and sort of secure that holiday home they've been thinking about for the last few years in the south of France or Italy or wherever it might be? I think the pandemic's really sort of shone a light on the importance of family and friends. Finally, it's probably worth pointing out that a Biden presidency signals a return to obviously a more conventional form of governance, but also greater certainty in terms of international trade policy. And that could actually weaken the dollar. And that in turn may attract more foreign investment into US gateway cities such as New York, Miami and LA. And so we might see that, see those cities start to climb further up the rankings in 2021. So that's just one trend to watch.
Kate Everett-Allen is Head of International Residential Research at Knight Frank. Kate, thank you so much for your time and stay safe.
You're welcome. Thanks, Howie.
This has been Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.